This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. As traditional advertising has become less effective, many companies have turned to content marketing, a strategic approach to reach and retain customers. These companies increase sales and grow their business by consistently creating and distributing information that current and potential customers find valuable and relevant to their needs. The Content Formula, a book by Marketing Insider Group CEO Michael Brenner, establishes a way for companies to prove the exact return on investment they get from their content marketing efforts. Michael's going to be the featured speaker at the American Marketing Association's Cincinnati Signature Speaker Series event on January 27th, and he joins us this afternoon, along with Health Carousel Chief Marketing Officer John Sebastian and Dennis Devlin, CEO of Consumer Clarity, and AMA Cincinnati Vice President of Strategic Alignment. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dennis, just by way of introduction, tell us a little bit more about the AMA and the role that it plays in Cincinnati.
Sure, absolutely. Cincinnati marketing community is really a microcosm of the global marketing community. And as such, we in Cincinnati at AMA Cincinnati try to reflect what our parent, if you will, American Marketing Association does on a global basis. So we're trying to strive really to be the force and the voice shaping marketing in Cincinnati, to be an essential community for marketers, just as the AMA does on a global basis.
Mm-hmm. And you felt like Michael had an important message here you wanted to bring into your members.
Oh, absolutely. Content marketing is a hot topic, and Michael is certainly one of the stronger speakers in the country on the topic.
Michael, when we talk about content marketing, what exactly are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think you set it up pretty well. You know, in many ways, it's the exact opposite of advertising. And, you know, we kind of live in a world, I always say marketing has a marketing problem. And what I mean by that is, you know, when I asked my mom what she thought marketing was when I came into this profession, she said, well, it's ads, you know, and that's what most people think marketing is. And, you know, I learned in college, you know, too long ago, unfortunately, that marketing is supposed to be a conversation between a company and its customers. And that's really what content marketing is all about. It's kind of the opposite of advertising. Instead of talking about yourself and trying to sell something, it's really trying to engage people in a conversation. And, you know, instead of saying, hey, I've got something for you, which is not a great way to start a conversation, it starts with, you know, how are you? You know, what's going on? You know, what kind of challenges and problems do you have that we can maybe help solve?
So the keywords are valuable and relevant, I take it.
Absolutely, yeah, and focused on the customer, not on the business and the products they're trying to sell.
Now, this, as I understand it, content marketing is not necessarily a new idea. It's been around for quite some time. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really there's an example from John Deere, the Furrow magazine. It's been around for a long, long time. The Jell-O got started, you know, from a recipe book, by its company, and so it's been around for more than 100 years. It's just, we've kind of in the era of mass media, you know, which we've kind of moved out of now into the digital age that we're in. There were three channels that people were paying attention to, and so marketers jumped on board, you know, got expensive agencies in line to create creative ad campaigns, and we sort of entered this era of advertising, which really took over, again, back to this marketing problem that I think, you know, perception that people have. So it's been around for a long time. It's just been superseded by the era of mass communications and limited choices that we used to have back in the 50s and 60s. You know, and obviously that world has changed. We've got Facebook and Twitter and blogs and you know, all kinds of different options available to us on our phones and on our screens and on our TVs. And so the consumer, you know, we as consumers are now in charge of the experiences that we have, and we want to tune into great storytelling and great pieces of content. We don't tune into advertising that interrupts those experiences.
And so the digital age has just sped things up and made content marketing even more relevant.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, consumers, we opt out of the things that we don't want, and we do so very rapidly. And so, companies are really forced into a position of needing to meet the needs of their customers with helpful information and articles and tips and tricks and not just with the promotional ads that are trying to sell their products.
John, how does the health carousel embrace the idea of content marketing? How are you utilizing this?
Well, first off, Health Carousel is a healthcare workforce solutions company, which means we help to staff nurses, physicians, and other healthcare professionals across the United States. The challenge is there's a shortage of nurses and doctors in the United States, so attracting this talent is really a challenge, and that's the marketing challenge for us. So as Michael was talking about, targeting nurses and doctors who, like many other consumers, are very time-starved, and trying to interrupt them and in a promotional way reach them is not going to be very effective. So we seek to use content marketing as a way to attract nurses and doctors to our organization so that we can show them the value that we add by helping place them in healthcare institutions throughout the United States. Mm-hmm.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation with a question or a comment. You can also email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Michael, what are some of the common myths, misperceptions maybe that marketers face when they're trying to be successful with content marketing?
Well, I think it's an even larger challenge that marketers face, and that's the perception that marketing doesn't deliver business results. And you know, I think John Wanamaker and some others have famously said that, you know, I know my advertising is effective. I know half of it is effective. I just don't know which half. And you know, unfortunately for most companies, it's not 50%. It's way less than that that's effective in their marketing strategy. So marketing overall struggles with showing the CEO and the board that it can deliver real business results in the form of leads and sales. And, you know, it's the natural instinct of an executive to want to promote the company and the products that it sells. And yet that's the thing that we as consumers tune out, as we've been talking about. And so, you know, content marketing really serves the larger challenge that marketers have, and that's in showing that marketing can really deliver strategic value to the business.
So why did you write the book, The Content Formula? I mean, obviously, content marketing is a very important thing. Tell us about why you wanted to write a book about measuring the return on investment of content.
Yeah, it's really kind of setting content marketing into the context of business results. And, you know, for a long time, marketers presented, you know, things that maybe non-marketers might not understand, but things like impressions and reach and frequency and these terms that sort of in marketing we all, you know, speak about every single day. But executives sit back and they cross their arms and they, you know, they're thinking to themselves and too often in the past didn't say that, you know, well, where's the sales? And so, you know, I hear that challenge every single day. And I heard it from, you know, forward-thinking senior executives in the marketing area that said, you know what, I'm getting pressure from our CEO to show more results from a marketing, from our marketing programs overall. They're willing to invest in the marketing function, but we need to show results. We need to show a return on investment. And so I wrote the book really to answer that problem in a very definitive way. It's a quantifiable discipline. We live in a digital world where, you know, every touch point from a company can be tracked and measured. And so wrote the book really to provide a very clear, you know, it's almost like a workbook, a very clear step-by-step process for any marketer in any type of industry, any size company, to be able to prove the results of their marketing investment to their executives.
So I think as you warned at the front of the book, there is some math involved here, right?
Yeah, I apologize for the math. I was an English lit major, so, you know, math doesn't come naturally for me. And you know, I think it's a new discipline in marketing. You know, this whole, we talk about analytics and just all the data that's available to us now. It can be a challenge. It can be a real struggle. But, you know, I tried to simplify it as much as possible to explain how, like I said, anyone in really just any size company, no matter what the budget is or the number of people on your team are, that any company can really show real value in the marketing activities.
So what are the main takeaways from the book?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, marketers often, we think tactically. You know, the CEO says, hey, you know, I need a marketing campaign, and we go build a campaign, and we don't stop and first ask, you know, what's the objective? What vision does this support? You know, like Health Carousel, you know, a recognized company, a leading place to work. You know, that's we call that talent brand. That's an amazing objective for them to kind of set out. You know, we want to become recognized as a great place to work. You know, that's a great, well-defined mission and objective for marketing activity. So it really starts with, I think, defining what the objectives are for any kind of marketing activity, looking at what vision it supports for the company overall, what strategic initiatives it supports from an overall company perspective, and then defining the actual ways that you're going to track it. So pretty simple three-step approach. You know, build the business case, which is essentially, you know, defining that business context for the marketing program. Second step is finding the budget, actually looking in ways, not asking for incremental money, but finding the areas that are potentially wasteful or untrackable in marketing activities. And then the third step is kind of the hard math. It's the actual formulas and calculations that we present for how anyone can track and measure their return on investment.
Well, put this in economic terms, Michael. I mean, how much does unused or wasted content, how much does it cost businesses?
Yeah, there was a study done by a firm called eConsultancy. They're based out of the UK, and they looked at over 600 different companies. They did an audit of the marketing content, the collateral, if you will, the brochures and banner ads and all the kinds of stuff that gets created inside a marketing organization. And what they found was that they extrapolated out to $50 billion in pure waste. $50 billion, that's a big number. That's just for business-to-business companies. And you know, you think about consumer brands and companies like you know, P&G and Kraft and those kind of companies, they're spending way more than business-to-business companies. And so it's easily a $100 billion opportunity. You know, in my own work with my clients, I find that something like 60% on average of the content that gets created by marketing departments goes completely unused. You're probably sitting there wondering, like, why does that happen? Well, it happens because somebody asks for it. You know, the sales team comes over and says, hey, I'm going to a trade show and I need some brochures. And, you know, you spend a lot of money creating that stuff and getting it printed and shipped out. And you know, if you're on the other side of the table, you know, it goes straight into the trash bin. And so, unfortunately, we spend a lot of money and waste a lot of money. It's almost criminal in a sense. It's understandable when we, I think, accept that, you know, behind every piece of content that never gets used or just doesn't perform very well, there's an executive who's asking for it. And so marketers need to push back and really, really feel the pain and the criminality of that waste and start to get the courage to push back on those kinds of requests.
You brought up trade shows, Michael, and I'm curious what all three of you think about trade shows and conventions in terms of being part of the marketing mix these days, especially with so much that being done online.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start. You know, I actually, you know, we talk about content marketing, and it's easy for people to think of that purely in a digital sense. I extend that to be any touch point that a company can create, and you know, the definition for me is if it's consistent and customer focused. And so, if you go to a trade show and you've got you know, people standing at a booth and they're trying to pitch a demo or, you know, give you a product sample, that's not content marketing. But if you're hearing or seeing something that's really experiential, like a, you know, virtual reality display or you hear stories from real customers, to me, that's an effective use of marketing dollars to really touch people, not just online, but offline in a personal way. So I think that they're going to continue, trade shows and conferences are going to continue to be an effective use of marketing dollars.
Dennis, what's your take on trade shows? Are they still viable and valid even nowadays?
Well, I think they're valid for certain industries. Certain industries can utilize them as part of what we refer to as the marketing mix, certainly as a potential distribution channel for basically making their target customer more aware of their products and services. I don't think it's for everyone. I don't think it's for every company, but certain companies certainly do utilize trade shows and conventions.
And tell us a little bit more about Consumer Clarity, what your company does.
Consumer Clarity is a consumer insights and marketing strategy firm and really has a specialty in millennial marketing specifically.
Okay. John, your thoughts on trade shows?
Well, trade shows is part of our mix, and historically, the payout on them has not been very good. But I think what's exciting, particularly as you think about the advent of digital, is linking trade shows into an overall approach to customer relationship management. So as opposed to meeting people at a trade show and then you may never hear from them again, now we have it as part of our strategy that if it's going to be a tool for us to acquire new customers or build new relationships, we then use it to capture their email or other contact information, and then it fits as part of our total content marketing strategy. I think in that case, then you can evaluate the payout or the ROI of a trade show relative to other parts in the marketing mix.
How challenging is it to market in the health field these days?
Well, you know, and we are targeting a relatively small group inside of the healthcare field, which is nurses and doctors, and in particular, nurses and doctors who are willing to travel to different hospitals or other institutions that have acute staffing shortage needs. So it's a relatively focused group of people. So the challenge there is with a small group of people, how do we identify, find them, and engage them? And that's why I think some of the concepts that Michael talks about of not just shouting at them or trying to interrupt them, particularly since many of them have different schedules, maybe working nights and weekends, but instead engaging them via content marketing that interests them, and then connecting it through the power of technology to building a relationship with them over time. I believe it's something that sets healthcare us all apart. And we look at the industry, particularly the healthcare industry, as one where some of these advanced marketing concepts can really revolutionize the way that we interact with doctors and nurses. And that's part of what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Michael, what do you see as being some of the big trends in content marketing for this year and beyond?
Yeah, I see a few, and I think they make sense in the larger context of just this, crazy technologically advanced world that we're living in. But it's going to sound simple, but it's difficult and challenging, I think, for companies to create visual stories. And what I mean by that is, infographics and memes and GIFs and, just even simple videos that explain the things that they know and the solutions that they sell that really solve customer problems, not the products themselves, but the actual sort of expertise that they have. And so I think visual content, it's something that we as consumers are all creating just in mass. And so brands need to step up and figure out how do they create those kinds of visual stories in a way that's engaging. And part of that comes down to, we talked about the talent brand that I think HealthCareCell's built. And it really starts with having engaged employees and having people that really are passionate about the places that they work and the things that they do, that allows companies to bring up the humanity inside of them. I think we live in a world where we just won't accept companies that are purely and clearly only about themselves and forget maybe their founding mission to solve a real customer problem. So I call that humanization. So visualization, humanization. This final point may sound a little bit scary to some of your readers and listeners that maybe aren't in marketing, but personalization. And, there's a lot of talk about privacy and things like that in Facebook. But now we have the technology in marketing to be able to deliver the right piece of content to the consumers that we're targeting in the right place at the right time. And so that's something that I think we're going to see more of. Again, it would be opted in. It would be, consumer accepted. Again, if the content is effective and customer focused and valuable and relevant to them, they're not going to be upset about it. But that's really, the future direction that we're going to see for marketing.
The other concept in this area that we've needed to embrace is mobile first. So it's historically you could develop long form content or content design for websites, and we would expect the consumer to be willing to spend the time to read through it in the comfort of their home. Now, 80%+ of the visitors to our website come from a mobile device. Many of the folks that we're interacting with are traveling, and so they only have connection to a mobile device. So the other challenge is creating the type of content that Michael is talking about, but doing it in a way that is bite-sized, that in the context of your handheld, you can quickly read it, be engaged, and take away the value that makes you want to engage with that company further.
So who is doing content marketing really, really well? Who are some of your favorite examples?
Yeah, I can start. I actually just published a post on yesterday with about 180+ different examples. Content marketing really is everywhere now, and companies that aren't doing it are finding themselves falling behind. Probably the most famous example that we talk about inside the industry, kind of some inside baseball, is American Express. And so American Express's small business division created one of the first examples of what we call modern content marketing about 10 years ago. And it's a site called Open Forum. And essentially they created it to target small business owners. And I love that they have a really simple mission. It's to help small business owners grow. They don't talk about, you know, credit cards or financing for your, you know, small business. They just talk about all the challenges and problems that a small business owner might face. And you know, certainly surrounding that content are ads to, you know, to sign up for a new card from American Express. And it's the largest source of new customers for their entire small business division, a really effective example of content marketing ROI. There's another example in the healthcare field. Cleveland Clinic has a site called Health Essentials, and you know, we talk about sites. You know, the best examples are essentially companies that really look a lot more like publishers. You know, like the Wall Street Journal and New York Times and CNN. Cleveland Clinic's Health Essentials is a great example of that. They're the number two healthcare site in the entire world. WebMD is number one. They're the number 12 most visited website in the world, which is pretty impressive. And they actually make money by selling Google ads. So they're doing a great job of not just finding, you know, healthcare is such an information-rich category. They do a great job of taking their doctors and their health medical professionals, sharing the expertise and the latest, you know, breaking things that they know, and that attracts this massive audience that they're able to turn into actual ad revenue dollars.
Dennis, what about you? Do you have any favorite examples of good content marketing?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, I try to follow people like Michael to find out who really is the best at that. And then he has some colleagues that also speak and write in the content marketing space I also follow. We've had in recent years Ann Handley from Marketing Profs also speak to our signature speaker series audience here in Cincinnati. I will defer to those who are really focused in that specific area of content marketing.
To Michael's expertise there.
Absolutely.
So, but again, give me the details for the event coming up where Michael's going to be the main speaker.
Sure. That is on January the 27th. It is at the Xavier University Cintas Center. Begins at 11:30 to 12. Will be registration for the event, check-in and networking opportunity. And then we serve lunch as part of the event, that usually from 12 to about 12:15 or so. And then we'll have, I believe John is going to introduce Michael to the audience, and then Michael will take it from there.
And is there a website where people can get more information?
Sure. I certainly would encourage your listeners to check out AMA Cincinnati online at amacincinnati.org.
Okay. And we have a link to that website at wvxu.org as well. And Michael, Dennis, and John, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marketing Insider Group CEO Michael Brenner. His book is The Content Formula. Also, Health Carousel Chief Marketing Officer John Sebastian, and Dennis Devlin, CEO of Consumer Clarity, and AMA Cincinnati Vice President of Strategic Alignment, joined us today. Again, Michael Brenner is going to be the featured speaker at the AMA's Cincinnati event January 27th at Xavier University Cintas Center. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. You can find archives of our programs at wvxu.org. Pete Reitmeier was the producer for today's show. Belinda Kai was the assistant producer. Rick Andrus was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now next on 91.7 WVXU. And join us tonight at 9 for NPR's coverage of President Obama's farewell speech. Human resources professionals will tell you there are plenty of job openings in Greater Cincinnati, but companies often have trouble finding the employees that best meet their needs. And not all stable, good-paying jobs require a four-year college degree. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll look at job opportunities and training programs in our region and the skills employers look for when hiring new workers. That's on Cincinnati Edition, tomorrow afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.